It's the most viewed Lamborghini ever in the world.
And he's got maybe like 2 brain cells.
Excuse me, what?
You're doing this YouTube thing right.
My manager's over there saying, don't say what you're going to say, Yanni.
Wait, what?
7 years ago, I got robbed in my house.
Woo! Yeah! Okay, Jelly, so I think you can introduce our guest today.
Yeah, today we have a professional rapper with us.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So this is Yanni the Rapper. So, Yanni, how long have you been in the music industry for?
I knew that was coming.
We love your tunes.
Yeah.
That's it, me, Drake, Snoop, you know how we do.
Yeah. You hang out with those guys?
All the time. To be fair, I was with Snoop the other week, actually. But yeah, I actually was.
He's not even kidding. He's not even lying.
No.
But yeah, I'm not a rapper. I'm not a rapper with an R. I'm a rapper with a W.
Oh, okay. Can you please explain? Because we're not really
sure.
So
you're a whapper.
I'm a whapper. So I own a company called Yanimize. So we wrap cars for a living, and we wrap them for every celebrity, YouTuber, high net worth individual on the planet, and every car you can possibly imagine.
But why? Wow. Why do you need to wrap your car? Because I've been driving a car for a while and it doesn't need a wrap. Like,
okay.
Wow, is it Josh.
Straight in. We'll do this, Jelly.
I'm asking. It's interesting.
Okay, what car do you have?
Right now, I have a Taycan.
Okay, you have a Porsche Taycan, yeah?
Yeah.
What color is the car?
Black.
You bought it in black?
Yeah.
Nice black? You like it? Enjoy it? How long are you going to have the car for?
How long am I going to? Maybe a year or two? I don't know.
Or two. If you ever got bored of that black, and you think, you know what, I might want to make it blue or green or red or orange or white, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Sell the car and then try and buy another car in that color.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Or you can just come
to
the
problem is that I've had like a few cars and they've all been black. So that's the issue. I'm pretty boring.
I mean, you're literally wearing black.
No, I've got gray as well.
A little bit of gray. Or your rims? Your rims are gray?
Yeah, but they've got yellow calipers. Which
where's the yellow
I tried to... What? On my outfit?
Yeah, there's no yellow on your outfit.
No, I'm not. I haven't got any yellow, sorry.
Oh.
But no, that makes sense. I get it. I was a bit of a trap.
It's like changing jacket. I haven't wrapped cars, but I've done, it's something called paint protection film. It's PPF for short,
yeah.
Which it protects the paint, right?
Very good.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff. He's good.
But before we get into all of this, I think we should properly introduce this guy here, all right?
Yeah.
So Yanni, big YouTuber, celebrity car rapper with a W.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
From the UK. You've got all kinds of businesses. You're a vlogger. You're a big guy, man. And what the crazy thing is, I've actually known you for a while. I think back then, I'm not sure you were a YouTuber. Were we in the business? Were we in the same business back then?
I think it was early days. I've been doing it for about 9-10 years now, but I think it was early days.
But what is it you've been doing?
Right.
Like, so you say doing it, but what is it? You've been doing the Yanni thing for like 9-10 years?
No, so I had the car wrapping business. And the reason the car wrapping business blew up is because I'd done the likes of KSI, all the Sidemen.
Which we'll get to. Be interesting.
All of One
more.
Direction, all the football players, all the musicians. So when you do cars for those people and they do videos and you do content with them and you put them online, that is how you build your profile. So I built my profile and then everyone's like, well, you should do YouTube, you should do this. And I was like, okay then. So then I started doing YouTube.
Right.
And obviously when you do videos with these guys, your followers grow. And obviously it was a lot easier back in the day to grow your followers. I think it's a lot harder now.
Right.
If you're starting out.
So what, like, there's plenty of other people I assume who wrap cars.
Yeah.
So what was it that meant that you could do it for like these big people, these big names? What was the difference?
It's just how I networked.
Really?
I think I just networked really, really well. I got introduced to people. I think if you're famous or you've got money, the biggest issue is trust.
Sure.
It's very difficult to work with people and you think, can I trust them? Are they going to rip me off or are they going to sell a story on me? And I think because I had such a good client base from early, like a friend of mine was Bakary Sagna, I don't know if you're into football, he's an Arsenal football player, played for Man City, the black guy with the blonde hair. He was my best friend and he introduced me to a few players. Mm. And then once you get one player and you're in the training ground, they're like, oh, who done your car? Yanni done it.
Yeah.
Oh, go to him. And then I became like the go-to guy. If you're a YouTuber, they were like, you got to go to Yanni.
Right.
And if you took your, and it was funny at the time for me, but if you didn't take your car to me and you're a YouTuber, they're like, yeah, you're not making that YouTube money.
Wait, but we never got our cars wrapped at yours. So did we make that YouTube money?
I guess
not. You do live abroad, to be fair.
Yeah, I do. What about this
guy? He doesn't wrap his cars. He keeps his cars all black.
I'm boring.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one day we'll get that jelly.
Yeah.
Have a car wrapped.
But that's interesting though. So you created this trust circle. And that allowed you to expand your business in like the celebrity world, because these are expensive cars. Can you like name some cars? Like we're talking about Lamborghinis, we're talking about Ferraris,
Bugattis, Koenigseggs.
So these guys, they drop their $2 million car off at your door, and they say, "Can you please make it red?"
Yeah, or chrome.
Maybe so red is too boring.
Yeah, we do like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He had a LaFerrari. And we got a big backlash on this, and it was all in the papers and in the news, where they say Ferrari should always be red.
Right.
They say, if you have a Ferrari, it should always be red. And we wrapped it in like a psychedelic, holographic flip color. You know, like if you pour oil on the floor,
right?
It looked like that.
Wow.
And they were like, that car should be taken away from him. He should be arrested. Enzo Ferrari is turning in his grave.
Car abuse.
It was, honestly, it was brutal. But he's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, and he was playing for Arsenal, and he was top goal scorer. He don't care.
Right.
And when you've got a car, the whole idea is to do that. You wouldn't buy that car in that color because resale is going to be terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can do whatever you want. Your imagination can be crazy. And then when you sell the car, you just take the wrap back off and then sell it in the black as an example.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. Like, especially, it makes more sense to get a fairly neutral color and then wrap it, because then you're not going to have any issues
selling
it. Your
personal taste.
Yeah,
yeah. But like, a prime example is JJ. We've done his Lamborghini in chrome purple with the Tron.
KSI,
yeah. So we've done KSI's car in chrome purple with the Tron. And everyone's like, oh my God, that was obviously in his video.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was insane. But when we sold that car, years later, we stripped it back to the original orange.
Right.
And then we sold it.
And I guess any of this, like, people hating on whatever color you've wrapped the Ferrari is kind of good publicity for you.
It's great for me.
Because they see, hey, you know, sure, we might not like the color, but the wrapping job, you know what? That's a good job.
Do you know what I always say? I always say to people, I wrap my cars in like chrome turquoise and gold and mad and like rose gold. Doesn't matter. But people say, have you seen Yanni's car? I hate it. But you've just said, have you seen Yanni's car?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love Yanni's car. So it doesn't matter. All you're doing, you're saying
my
name.
You got your foot in the door, basically.
You're saying my name nonstop. Yeah, so no, I don't care.
So for you, you need to have something that is literally not just a regular color. Right?
I've always, it's good
business.
To be out.
It's good business for you. You're marketing your own business by driving a chrome car.
Exactly. You want people to talk about it. And when you're driving down the road and people are like, oh my God, people will talk about it.
Right.
So diving in a bit further then, we're talking about what you had at the beginning of the wrapping business, but like, I want to find a bit more about like how you actually got to that though. Like, did you come out the womb wrapping cars? Like, what's the early days?
Good question.
Okay. Do you want to hear the funniest thing? So I'm known as the Wrap King.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
I can't wrap cars.
Wait, what?
I don't wrap cars.
Wait.
As in like you can't?
I can't physically do it. I know how to do it. I can talk you through it. I have the best staff in the game, but I don't physically wrap cars.
So you buy like vinyl and you heat it against the paint.
Correct.
That's kind of...
And you apply it.
You apply
but
it.
But clearly there's a bit more skill to it.
Right.
Yeah.
To get it clean. You can't do that.
I don't apply vinyl. Okay, does Richard Branson fly the planes?
But what I find interesting is that you didn't do it.
No.
You didn't start with. So like, you weren't like, you started up doing it yourself and then you brought people in. Like, so how did you get to have it?
Yeah.
If you couldn't do it yourself, how did you get there?
So I used to outsource everything. So I don't want to say I faked it, but
I would join the club. There we go.
I would take it to you to wrap, and I'd take it to you to tin, and I'd take it to that person to do the wheels. And literally I'd pick up the car and I'd get it all done. And this was before the days of Instagram. So everyone's like, oh, Yanni, done a great job, and we take it here, get it done. And they're like, Yanni, where's your place? And I'm like, I'm doing it up. It was me and one guy driving around, outsourcing all the work. And they're like, yeah. And obviously Instagram came about, and I was like, I'm in trouble now. So Instagram was amazing for me because I've now got a visual thing that I can show people loved, but I haven't got the premises. So I had to very quickly get a premises because I was about to be exposed as this guy that's the known as everyone knows it. And then...
So you're a bit of like a broker or like a middleman.
Correct.
So who was the other person that you said?
Just another company.
Oh, okay.
So it was a company. It was a company that I used early days. They used to specialize in vans. So if you know, like the Sky Sports vans, or you see like the Simpsons on the back, the digital print, people used to do vans. I was the one that was like, let's do cars. So I had the client base. And I took it to them and said, listen,
where did the client base come from?
So my friend Bakary Sanya, who played for Arsenal. Yeah, it just goes back and back and back. But
wow.
As I said, I just networked very well. I always talk to people. I don't care whether you're the cleaner or you're one of the royals. It doesn't matter. I'll talk to you the same way. I always carry
So you kept building up that.
It's hustling.
Yeah,
right? It's hustling. Like, I mean, a lot of big businesses are started like that. I mean, you know.
If you know, listen,
you did it yourself in the end of the day. You might not have wrapped the cars yourself, yeah, but you made sure that your client got the result that he wanted.
And what people don't understand is people say, well, you're not down there, you're not in the trenches. So if I'm down there wrapping a car, who's on the phone? Who's calling people? Who's dealing with the customers? Who's building the business, the brand? Right. If I'm not doing that, I don't have the business. I just have a job and I'm just there every day wrapping the cars, but people are not actually...
You know, it's funny. It's not that different from... I know you are a YouTuber, like, but it's not that different from, well, us and YouTubers.
Right.
Because like, the difference is that it is different in the sense that for us, we had to do everything at the start, but it got to the point where we then started bringing people in to help us do all those parts. And although the product was effectively the same, right? So cars get wrapped. Arguably, maybe you could do it. You could make sure the end result's better now, maybe.
Yeah.
But, and the same thing for us is that the end result's probably better with the other people. But at the end of the day, we're still making a video and the video goes up. So it's an interesting point. It's like, you don't have to be doing all of it yourself to make good things, right?
Look at people who film. Who edits?
Yeah.
People have a team. Like, you're doing a podcast now. We've got a team behind the cameras. Yeah. Whereas,
and they're okay.
Early, they're
did your customers at the start know that this was going on, or you were really like trying to?
Because I was the face. So people wanted to come to me.
Yeah.
So they wanted to deal with me. So it didn't matter what went on, as long as I was getting the car and I was properly insured and the end product was amazing. They don't care.
They didn't look at the mileage. They didn't see 300 more miles because you had to drive around the country three times.
That's a valid point. But they don't care, though. If you're high net worth, if you're successful, you just want, there's my car, do everything to it, and bring me the car back. You don't want to take it to this person and that person and that person. So I'm doing all the, it's like concierge, I'm doing all the work for them.
Maybe I'm speaking for myself here a little bit too much, but sometimes when I give my car to like a garage or to whoever, I'm scared they're going to take parts out and sell it and put some like Alibaba parts back in.
Wow.
Is that like,
I think that's not something
that happens in this business?
Not anymore. And I think obviously with the newer cars now and they're all under warranty. And I think, it's not like back in the day. I think they used to do that in rentals. So you'd rent a car and they'd take the tires off and swap the tires over. So people would do that. But yeah, not if you take it to a proper place. Bring the car to me. you'll be all right.
Okay, good.
I might suck some mileage on it, but you'll be all
right. So there was kind of, so you were doing well, right? You had the core principles, you had some good clients. But was there kind of like a breakout point? Was it the KSI, the car, or?
So my first ever YouTuber was Harry Road to Shore.
Oh,
so Harry lived in, where did he live? Guernsey?
Yeah, island off the French coast.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know where it is. So he contacted us, wanted his car wrapped, and he was like, I'm a YouTuber. We're like, YouTuber.
Okay.
YouTuber question mark.
What a YouTuber
not
is.
A celebrity. Go away.
I didn't know. And we wrapped his Audi in chrome silver, okay, which was quite mad.
What kind of Audi was this?
It was an Audi A5. He was still young and obviously insurance and stuff. So we wrapped his car. And then one said to me, oh, this guy's a YouTuber. My staff were young. And my staff were like, oh, he's a YouTuber. And this and now he goes, but you want to get the other guy? And I'm not going, the black guy. I'm like, what black guy? And they're like, the guy that's always with him. But I didn't think anything of it yet. But that's how my staff said it to me. So I was like, okay, cool. So we do Harry's car. I film the content. And then when Harry comes with a black guy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And to pick up the car.
So I assume that's the guy that everyone's talking about. And they're like, no, it's not him. It's a guy called KSI. And I'm like,
wait, so who was he with?
I don't know. He might have been with Toby,
to be fair. Another one on Sidemen,
Another one on Sidemen. I'm only basing it on by what my staff are telling me. So they're just like, oh, this guy's Harry, and he's got a friend who's a black guy who's amazing, and that's the guy you really want because he's the main guy.
Oh my God.
I'm like, okay, I don't know. Anyway, we do Harry's car, and then I get KSI. And
so you got KSI.
I got KSI.
How did you get to KSI?
Through Harry. Through Road to
Shore. So Harry just,
just like, KSI. You do one YouTuber, and then once you do one YouTuber and that video goes up, it's mental.
So did you charge him?
Yeah, I don't do free. I don't do free.
Oh, I was hoping to get a free car wrapped after the show.
I don't do free. A lot of people contact me and say, oh, I've got big social media, I've got big YouTube. I'm like, yeah, so have I.
At the time,
you have staff
was it a bit? Okay. But then I guess you didn't really know how big.
Well, I only did when my staff, and he turned on and was like, wow, this guy's a monster. Like, he's huge. So what I did with JJ, his job, I think at the time, so we'd done the wrap, we'd done the underlights, we'd done a sound system, his Aventador.
This was a Lamborghini Aventador?
Lamborghini Aventador, the Lamborghini car in
and
the song.
You guys wrapped it in.
Right.
Tron.
Chrome purple with Tron on top.
What was the backlash of that? Because...
Well, it's the most viewed Lamborghini ever in the world.
Is this the video? Is this the Lamborghini he made?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A Lamborghini song
correct
on. That was good promotion for you.
That was great promo, and that's the car that, what'd you call it, bought what's the YouTuber called where he bought loads of
recently?
Yeah. Oh, I did
Will
see
and
this.
Yeah, Will and E. Will and E bought
recently
that.
Will and E bought KSI's. Does he old still Lamborghini
own that? I think he did own, I don't know if he sold it again, but
he kept it, man. It's a classic. Open a museum. That's what he did. That's what the video is about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was,
I think.
Going back to it though,
so you talk about the pricing. JJ's job, I think it was around £16,000. Wow. And obviously I was like, I'm not going to do it for free and I can't afford to give away a 16 grand custom job. So what I said to him was, and this is where I got him. Okay. So he was like, how much is the job? And I was like, da-da-da. I said, I think it's £16,000. He's like, okay. I said, we'll sort it out when you come back. So he left, comes back to clip the car, and he's like, okay, I need to pay it. I said, I'll tell you what I do. I said, that's your bill. And I passed it over on the table. I said, that's your bill. I said, you can pay whatever you want. And he sort of looked at me, got taken back. He's like, what do you mean? I said, you can pay me whatever you want for this job because I know who you are.
Was this content?
I appreciate you do. I didn't put this on the video.
No, okay.
Wow. We did have three videos.
Because it all sounds really dramatic.
Yeah.
But I was like, you can pay whatever you want. So it wasn't on the video. This was obviously behind. And he was like, so if I want to put £1 on my card, can I do that? I said, if you want to do that. And I just said, I'm going to leave you here. I left. I went downstairs.
Wow.
And I just left him in my office with my PA. All right. Anyway, so he comes down, takes the card, he drives off. Obviously, as soon as he lives, I run upstairs straight away.
What did he pay?
What did he pay? She goes, he paid the full amount. He paid the full amount. And he didn't need to. He could have paid whatever he wanted.
Good guy.
And fair play. And he didn't need to. And fair play to him. He done that. And
but he didn't tip.
He did. No, you don't tip. But fair play.
This is the UK. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
And I shot three videos with him, and they're my top three videos on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, the return is insane. Like on your time spent, like
they're all 10 million plus. All three videos are 10 million.
Wow.
Plus.
Yeah.
So not only did you charge him the 16 grand, you probably made another 30, 40 grand from the video that you posted.
You're
on
doing
his car.
This YouTube thing right. Like,
yeah.
Work your way up the chain.
I'm not sure I'm going to pay for this.
You'd do the same thing to Jelly. You'd be like, so here's the bill. You pay what you want. Jelly would be like,
£1.
50p.
You're going to get the money anyway, man.
€1.
Put my name in the title. We good.
That's it. But
I don't know, Jelly. I don't know if you've got the pulling
power
anymore.
Hey.
He's definitely got the pulling power. I'm sure he has. But yeah, so it was just mad. And as I said, I've been fortunate enough to meet. So I know all the YouTubers.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know all the celebrities. And they just bring their cars to me. And there's no one else that does what I do in this, with these clients. There's a lot of rap companies out there. Listen, there's loads of YouTubers.
Yeah.
So who's your biggest competition?
I don't have competition.
You don't?
Wow.
I don't.
At all.
It's a monopoly.
There's small. Yeah, I don't. I've got a TV show. And when my TV show came out, I had loads of rap companies contact me saying, thank you so much for putting rapping on the map.
Oh,
it's
wow.
increased nice. My business. Like, I've got so much business. Because I can't do everyone's cars. And my customers are handpicked now. So it is literally, it is the celebrities now designing. Because I can't do 400 or 500 cars a year like we used to back in the day.
So you're, there's no competition. But in the rapping industry, is there like jealousy? Like, or do they think like, Yanni, he's just like, people talk big about him, but his actual raps are kind of crap.
No, the problem is our raps are amazing. So, and that's not just because our quality is really high, but I'm not cheap.
Right.
So they'll be like, he's too expensive. You're only going there because you're paying for the name. Well, you're not. You're paying for the service. And a lot of customers that come to us want their car put on my Instagram or they want it on my YouTube. Yeah. So if I film that video, you're getting that exposure for free.
Right. So it's kind of,
people want to see the reaction on their rap.
It's kind of the reverse has happened. So originally, you obviously are kind of grinding away, making contacts, building your network, kind of, you know, growing things. Whereas now, people are doing that to you.
Yeah.
People are like, I want to get my car wrapped so that I could get promo from you. Like,
correct.
It's crazy that it's flipped.
We did it with With Cal Freezy, we done. He done the prime bottle car.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
You know the Red Bull. You've seen the Red Bull car.
Yeah, yeah, the
bottle
on the
back.
Yeah,
we done one for Prime.
Wow.
And Cal came to me. He's like, "Listen, change this and make it into a Prime one." And we did that.
So I
did
that. Prime didn't even pay for that. Cal Freezy.
Was that a video he was making?
Yeah, it was a video that Cal done. We wrapped it in green. We mounted the bottle onto the back, and obviously then it gave it to KSI.
You gave it? Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and that was a cool video.
Yeah, that is
that's
cool.
Amazing.
And again, he came to me because we've always done the cards, and he knows that he's going to get... Listen, he doesn't need any help from me, let's be honest, but he got the extra exposure.
I mean, it adds a level to the video, though, because it's
kind of fun for you as well, though, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I love doing things like
that. So do you kind of pick your
clientele
like that as well? You make sure you can get some people in who also are going to, you know, give you some exposure as well.
It's whoever contacts me. Listen, we have a three and a half month wait list.
Wow.
So we have to be really, really careful.
But mine can be wrapped next week, right?
How solid is that wait list? Are there people you would push to the front?
There's people that I push to the front, but you won't get... I won't wrap your car next week. It's literally virtually important. I've got... you probably don't know, Bake Off, Paul Hollywood. So we're doing his car.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah,
you know, he's huge. He's I said to him, you've got to wait 4 weeks. My wait list is probably 12 weeks. I'm going to wait four. So even still that he's a huge celeb and a huge name... I still had to make him work. I can't just push a car out. If a car's already there or they're queuing, I can't just tell a customer, I'm going to move you around.
So he's kind of old school. So what is he, like, you know, like mainstream old school, like what is he getting wrapped? Or can you not say?
He doesn't want me to say. It's a monster car. He loves cars. He loves cars.
Is he going bright?
He's going orange. So I can tell you the color he's going. He's going bright orange.
Not what I expected from the character.
From that character. But he rides motorbikes. He's got loads of cars. But he's real cool.
Okay.
As I said, it's really nice to meet. You know when you meet people that are big names and you always want to see how they carry themselves and are they a bit up themselves or are they a bit rude or whatever? The majority of people, and I think, granted, because it's me and they know me and they think, well, I'm not going to be rude to Yanni. But they are cool.
No, that's cool.
I mean, they're also asking for a service from you and they're paying for it. So
It is a business at the end of the day. So people always look at that, it's YouTube, it's social media. It is, but this is a business. And if I don't do the job right, the YouTube and the business becomes irrelevant. Yeah. If the job's not right and you're paying for a service, and that's what I'm about.
Because, you know, you are doing a service that people are paying for. So essentially, if you do a bad job, somebody could make a video and say, you know what, I paid 10 grand to get my car wrapped, but it's a
you're a lot
job.
More exposed, effectively, right?
Massively. Because
people can attack you easily. It's very important for you to get the quality at the top.
Have you had that? Have you had like attacks on those types of things?
Listen, no job's going to be 100% perfect. So there is sometimes where the job hasn't been correct, but because I now have to deal with my customers and because I manage my customers very, very well, they will say to me, Yanni, I've got an issue. What's it? I've got a slight lift here. No problem. Bring me the car back. I'll rectify it. And a good company or a good business only shows itself when something's going wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point.
When it's good and I'm taking your money, we're both smiling and you leave, it's easy. When you phone me in 3 months' time or 6 months' time, say, I've got an issue.
Yeah.
I've already been paid now. So I know now whatever you're coming back with is now costing me money.
Yeah, yeah.
That shows how good you are.
Yeah.
And I will, if I have to rewrap your car for free under warranty,
well, and time, I'll do it. Like time is the big cost
time,
for you
vinyl,
right now. Yeah.
It's a nightmare. But if it's wrong,
I actually had that. Like I mentioned, I did a paint protection film, which is essentially a wrap without a color, right?
Yep, correct.
And it was starting to come off. It was starting to come off, and I was upset. They did take it back, which was nice, and I didn't have to pay for it, luckily. But
no,
I was
warranty. A bit scared. You shouldn't have to pay for it. It's warranty. Yeah. Did you drop, though, I'm Jelly and I'll drop a YouTube video on your ass?
No, they didn't even know it was me, I think. Nah. No. Like, I could have done that.
Watch out, guys.
But would I get a free car? Would I get a free wrap there? No,
but check this out though. Yeah. So if I do a free job, which I said I don't, do you have any right to say anything if the job's free?
No, actually, I guess not. Like the warranty.
I suppose the only difference would be if you were giving a free wrap in return for like a review,
right?
Or, like, or content.
The reason why though is like it's like the nerdiest like analogy for it, but we get games, right? And like. We can criticize the game, but we get games for free. And I know it's like miles away from a car wrapping, but it's so that's the sort of thing where they're like, we're trying to get exposure, then it's a fair opinion on it.
Yeah.
But I suppose if it's a service, you get it for free, then as long as if the person's gone back to you and gone, hang on a second, you gave me this thing for free, but it's like non-functioning, and you were like, I don't care, then I guess maybe you'd be like, I got this, but they didn't actually do it right. Yeah. So it's kind of like,
do you know what I call it? Value exchange.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people say, well, you got it for free. I didn't get it for free. Let's say I've done something to my house and I got an item in my house that someone like a fireplace for free. And they're like, you got it for free. Well, I didn't. I gave them exposure on my social media. Yeah. Right. Well, it doesn't cost you nothing. What it does, it took me years to build up my following to be able to people to trust me to put out my social media. So that comes at a cost.
Yeah.
So people don't actually get that. They're like, well, it's free. It's not, it's value exchange.
Yeah.
If someone
can, it's a win-win.
If someone can come out and fix a dent on a car and they'll take them 10 minutes and you'll pay £50 for 10 minutes. £50 for 10 minutes. But hold on, what about all the years it took him to train to be able to do that in the 10 minutes?
Yeah.
People don't get
the
that.
Equipment. Exactly. And the rent.
Exactly. So it's not free. It's value exchange.
Yeah.
So you sort of briefly touched on things like going wrong, fixing them, blah, blah, blah. Have you got like an example of like what the worst ever mistake was? Or problem that was like...
So we had a brand new Rolls Royce in and one of my staff smashed the window. He was taking a trim off and he flipped the trim and the trim hit the window and just went shattered everywhere.
Wow.
And the window was £1,800 because it was a brand new Rolls Royce.
Are you insured for things like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm sure. But I wouldn't claim on my insurance, not for £1,800. No. So I'm now in a catch-22. Do I ring the customer and tell him or do I just repair it?
Yeah.
So you can repair it and think the customer will never find out, which usually you can get away with. But right. You know what? I didn't. I'll tell you why I didn't. Because let's say that window had a slight mark or there was something on that window that he knew. Yeah. And he gets his car, but he's like, something's not right about this
it
window.
It might have been his special window.
Yeah.
You don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe he kissed it.
Yeah. and the lips.
Yeah, the lip mark is there. Or is no, I can't say this. Somebody that died kissed that window and he's not cleaning it off.
Wow, you know? is that where you went? he went there.
He goes to weird spots. Yeah. Like, it happens.
I'm just thinking of worst case scenarios. Why
I guarantee
he
you there was something
be...
worse in his head. That was the better
he
option.
Dumped it down.
Yeah, I did.
So I ran the customer and said, listen, this is what's happened. I'm sorry. I'm going to order a window from Rolls Royce. It's going to be an original window. He's like, thanks for letting me know, Yanni. No problem.
Oh, nice. I think I would have said, give me a new car. I wanted that window. I bought that car with that window.
Yeah, your free wrap's gone well out of the
free
window.
Free wrap, PPF. I'm not even putting a sticker on your car. Like, I'm just stay away from me.
You'd be like, stone chip.
That's it. I'm sticking to you. Boring.
There we go. Yeah.
I buy a new car every week, man. I was hoping to come every week. No, I'm kidding.
I just came up with a great idea for a video.
Oh.
You got to see how many, you know, like those videos where someone puts on a t-shirt and then they put on like 100 t-shirts. See how many wraps you can put on one car.
That's actually kind of good.
It's yours for free. You can take it.
Very good.
You just continue putting wraps on it, on it, on it.
100
layers.
And just
see how crazy it looks. You can see the thumbnail now. The thumbnail's like a car and you've got this like bulging with all the colors like splitting.
Yeah, and you start driving and the Ultra starts like flying off.
Actually, that's really good.
Hey, man, we're YouTubers here, you know. We can help you.
You know what we're saying? Value exchange. So there we go.
Yeah, value exchange.
So now I'm going to have to wrap his car. Luckily, don't like wraps. So I'm okay. That's actually really
Maybe PPF, Josh? I tried to talk him into PPF.
Well, you know what I'm actually driving at the moment? I'm driving a Honda E.
Okay.
A what?
Okay.
Honda E. Okay. not quite Honda E.
Dude, listen, I got in the car.
It as well. It's my second.
I got in this Taycan. He's got like all the carbon options you can possibly imagine. And he lives quite literally in the bush.
Is it turbo?
Yeah, it's S.
Turbo S. Yeah. Oh, look, that YouTube money.
He lives turbo in the bush. S. He's driving on, it past bushes.
I drive a Honda E to work.
Okay. You want to keep the mileage down on the Turbo S?
Yeah.
It's not even like you can say, I'm trying to save on fuel. It's electric. To me, you've got to save on electric.
Electricity is pretty expensive.
Have you actually ever driven a Honda E?
No, but I've driven a Titan Turbo S. I used to have one.
You're trying to convince a guy who replaces his Lamborghinis every six months to buy him a Honda E?
Just hear me out. The Honda E is probably one of the funnest cars I've ever driven.
Nah. Twizzy.
Maybe. But the thing is, the Honda E, it's like you put it in sport mode and like I can wheel spin that thing. I can drift it around corners. Like you'd be
shocked. You can do that with a Taycan Turbo S.
Now, granted, it can't go over 70 miles per hour. But when you're on the back roads, it's like, if you get up 70 miles an hour, you're going to die.
Is that safe though? Like in the back roads, what's the traction? Like I drove recently, you would have seen it. What was the car that flipped over in Monaco?
It was the new Citroën.
The new Citroën. Oh, we got to talk about an accent in Citroën.
Oh, Jelly. Wow. I don't want to.
I live in Monaco. It's quite literally French.
No, stop. He insists on any foreign word, he has to say it with the right accent.
Oh, it was very good though.
It's so infuriating.
The new
though.
Citroën.
Like you see, he starts talking about croissants, and it's just like, just shut up.
How do you say croissant?
Croissant. No, I don't.
Wow. What languages do you speak?
What language do I speak?
What languages do you speak?
I speak Dutch and English.
French?
I can understand a little bit of French. I don't speak it, no.
You sound very French,
though. I call it restaurant language. I can order a beer. I can order, I can read the menu roughly and kind of order what I want and what I don't want
with
on
the accent,
it.
Though.
With the accent, yeah.
I need to go he's like, I'm not coming.
It's really like one time is like
No, you got to pull the accent, man. That's the only way you can learn the language.
But we've got a bit of an American accent coming out.
I know, it's wild. It's wild. Like this, everyone thinks he's American, but I think that's just because it's the easiest option to default to.
Yeah.
Your accent, also his accent changes. So you get, an old school member that we kicked out of the group called Quebble Cop.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, we didn't kick him out. you speak to him, like they speak together and suddenly he's like, all sorts of stuff comes out. Like the accent completely changes.
What?
It's all that, it's all throat. It all comes from the throat.
Excuse me, what?
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at Jordy throat action.
I'm a little bit everywhere. I hear a lot of different types of English with a lot of different accents. It's hard to pinpoint which one's the one I'm going to copy, you know?
So based on which country you go to, you just change it up?
No, not my English accent. My English accent's actually the same.
Is it not? It's not an English accent.
I'm not talking about English.
I think he means the accent he has when he speaks English.
The accent I have when I speak English. Oh, fuck you guys. Just two British guys making fun of a foreigner. No, it's all right. It's all right. But, I'm Dutch, and a lot of people in the Netherlands actually have a British English accent, and I find that quite cheesy. Because I feel like...
Can you do the British accent?
Oh, yeah, mate.
Go on, Jay. Keep going.
No, I don't know what to say. Like,
tell us what you had for breakfast this morning.
This morning I had a meal replacer. It's called a Huel. Have you tried it?
Jay, that's not sponsored.
No, I know. Anyway.
Because we've got no sponsors. But
yeah, we don't have any sponsors. Yeah. Please pay us. Anyway.
We'll get sponsored from wrapping. We get a car wrapping sponsorship.
Mm, yeah. We'll I wanted to finish my story.
Sorry, go on.
I feel like American English is the default English.
For you.
Ooh, that's for me.
For you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you saved yourself there.
Listen,
that was a dangerous one.
Especially in Europe.
Well, hang on.
Like in mainland Europe. Like we're talking about Dutch English, German English, Swedish English, Norwegian English. Like I'm not kidding. These Englishes, they all have different accents and they're all kind of defaulting to the American English and not the British English.
I don't know.
I get what you're saying. When you get into
At a certain point, you just kind of have to be like, okay, Jelly.
Switch off.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, maybe we should keep talking about him than this guy. So I'll shut up.
That's fine. Fine.
Would you let Yanni wrap your $10 million yacht?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. $10 million yacht. Have I missed that video? Did I miss that video?
Dude, I'm a big shot. Have you
seen it? There's actually genuinely a video of it.
Yeah.
Do you have a $10 million yacht?
No.
Yeah, he does. Well, then, Jelly, what the hell is this about? Oh, I can't find it. No, no.
Listen, long story short, I bought a boat 2 years ago.
Did you change the title?
I think I changed it to 100 grand. Didn't I? Yeah.
Do you see the thumbnail?
Yeah, it
I'm
says
I'm currently
10
showing Yanni the thumbnail.
I bought a boat.
$10 million.
Question mark.
Clickbait.
Listen, yeah. I bought a boat. You know, I'm a YouTuber. I want to make sure that I get a little bit of the money back. So I had to make it a little bit more exciting by saying the boat is worth $10 million. And then this one guy who like makes drama videos on YouTubers kind of made fun of me. He said, you know, your channel's dying because you're focusing on your $10 million boat. Yeah. Long story short. And they're consistently making fun of it. The boat is worth 100 grand, which arguably for a boat is, you know, medium price. It's not the cheapest, but it's nowhere close to being a
Have
yacht.
You ever wrapped a boat?
Can you wrap boats?
Yes, we wrapped one in Ibiza. Or Ibiza. How'd you say Ibiza?
That's actually a good question because it depends on which region in Spain you're from.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I think in Ibiza...
You thought he was fun to be around, right? Like today, you were like, yeah, let's go.
We went to accents and it's just all gone wrong.
So I say Ibiza.
Okay.
Yeah, because I find the very odd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we wrapped a boat anyway in Ibiza.
Okay, well, like a big one, a $10 million boat.
It was $57 million boat.
What That's the? It,
but it's probably like 200 grand. Clickbait.
Ah!
No, it's probably, I don't know, it's probably like 300-400 grand.
What, so how do you wrap a boat? You take it out of the water, I assume, right? Yeah.
Take it out of the water.
And then
that's it. They take it out and they just leave it there. And then obviously
but boats,
wrap.
They grow like muscles on them and stuff.
Yeah, listen.
The little sea fish, not, you know, he works out a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to have fun with this podcast, aren't you? I don't reckon you're going to get to the five that you need to do to today. I reckon by three, he's going to be punching you in your face. Is that why I'm sitting in the middle? Is
We're consistently going off topic.
No, we're not. That is not true. I stay on topic and Jelly consistently goes off topic. I'm the one reeling it back in towards the topic.
Is that true?
What do you feel, Yanni?
Are you standing on my boat with
Is this become a therapy session where this is our therapist?
welcome to two-thirds with Yanni.
Two-thirds with Yanni.
Answer his question, okay? Is it problematic wrapping a boat or not?
You have to use different vinyl because obviously it's salt water and stuff like that. You can't really go below the waterline. Yes, the water will splash up on it. It lasts not as long as wrapping a car.
No.
But it's cool. It's nice and flat. It's like just long flat panels.
So you flew with your team to Ibiza to wrap.
Or did you outsource it?
No. I wouldn't outsource that because you want it. You want to take your team out.
I'll pay for it. Could you wrap my boat?
I could.
That's pretty cool. My boat's white. It's a standard. No,
it's boring.
Yeah, all boats are white.
Yeah.
Why can't I have gold?
Jelly green.
No, chrome gold.
Chrome
I'd green. Be the only chrome gold boat.
No, you wouldn't be. A few of the shakes.
Yeah, my area gold. Anyway.
Where in Monaco? Where's the boat in Monaco?
The boat's in Sweden.
In Sweden?
Yeah.
Not in Monaco.
No, it's not in
Monaco. He's not that levels.
Yeah, I love how I'm not going to fly out of this.
I can't afford a Monaco boat.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you can afford to live in Monaco, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's levels. I ain't gonna lie, that's level. The amount of tax I pay, I wish I lived in Monaco.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome. And so I can show you around.
Yanni, interesting question. So what is your, because you change cars a lot, right? Like a lot. So would you be able to actually say what your favorite car is?
Ooh, yes. And I am hoping for this answer. Go ahead, Yanni.
Yeah, it's easy. So I've driven everything. My favorite car... If you could only drive one car for the rest of your life,
yes,
Lamborghini Urus.
Woo! Yes, I own the car.
Oh, you got an Urus?
Yeah, let's go, man.
You got an Urus?
I got an Urus, matte black paint.
Although you did try and sell it.
Yeah, anything's for sale for a good price.
Agreed.
Fair enough.
So I bought it, and maybe a couple of months later, I put it up for sale for the winter because I barely drive it in the winter.
The car's for the. So it's a 4x4.
All right. Anyway.
What are you driving the winter?
I'm not going to explain why. I put it up for sale. I got an offer, which was more than I paid for it. So I was like, yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's go ahead.
Did you sell it?
Well, then the deal fell through and I kept the deposit. So I made some money off it.
Yeah, Lamborghini Urus is good news.
Yeah.
So I've got the Performante.
Yeah, I tried to get that one, but...
It's difficult.
Oh, you haven't got as good of one as well.
They released... So that's why I put it up for sale. Because they were going to release a new one. And hypothetically speaking, I now have an old Urus.
Or I guess you could even say basic.
Wow. Jesus. Wow. Man, it's nothing like your Honda. I'm sorry. You're right. Your Honda is next level.
Listen, the normal shape, I'll call it the normal one. The normal Urus is still an incredible car. Yeah, the new shape's out, but not many people have got the new shape.
I mean, I haven't driven it. Maybe you can kind of say, is it like 10% faster, 20%, 30%? The comfort lower because they upgrade, they up the...
Do you know about cars? Let me hear if you know this. Go on.
Well, you know, the suspension's a whole lot stiffer.
Right, so you're...
Got rid of some weight, which means I'm not sure we got massage seats anymore.
Right, yeah, no, my car's got every spec, but okay, so, you're on air suspension.
Yeah.
And I'm on springs.
Yeah.
So the ride that's is a whole lot different. Harder, but that's because it's a Performante, it's the race version.
Yeah.
If you have the S, you can get it on air suspension. So my car is a bit more bouncy where it bounces down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's...
So realistically, right? I mean... Like, you know, I hope Lamborghini aren't watching, but I'm a little disappointed with the Urus Performante.
Lamborghini, if you're watching, sponsor us.
Yeah.
I put my Urus up for sale because I was potentially going to buy a Performante. And I was like, maybe my Urus is going to drop in value when the new boy comes out. Well, that hasn't happened because the Urus Performante isn't all that exciting. And the Urus S is kind of the replacer of the base model.
They're dropping now, though. I'll be honest with you. What year's your car?
2021.
2020, so you're still fairly new. Yeah, they're dropping though, so just be warned.
Yeah, well, it's still for sale. So.
Buy Zorus.
Yeah.
Or his boat.
Like I said, anything's for sale for a good price, man.
Even jelly.
Yeah,
even
I sold, I had a very nice car. I don't know if I said this.
Did you?
Aventador SV Roadster.
Did you really?
Yeah.
SV Roadster.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Yeah, it's terrible to drive.
Drive like rub. Worst car. You look at it, it's an incredible car. Drive you start it, like
you,
rubbish. Dude,
you look at it, you're like, wow. You start it, you're like, oh my God.
So actually, I have a Roadster.
You start driving,
well.
You're like, no.
You have a Roadster?
I have a Tesla Roadster.
Not yet, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I have an original Tesla Roadster.
Yeah. He doesn't understand electric cars.
You don't.
A Tesla Roadster?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the new one.
Jelly. See, I've got you.
You have got me.
I've got you.
A Tesla Roadster.
So I have an original 2000 and... I got this, a 10 plate. 2010 Tesla Roadster, Signature Sport Edition. So you didn't know this.
I don't know that.
So first car so Tesla ever made.
First car they ever made was a Roadster sports car.
Yeah. Really?
And a fully electric.
A reskinned Lotus.
And they only sold it for Lotus. So it's similar to a Lotus body. Like Elon was like, we've changed 90% of the parts. It's pretty similar.
It's the same.
But I'll show you a picture later. But the so I bought it like a couple of years ago because I like electric cars basically.
I know. And
I don't really like cars. I just like the electric bit basically. Okay. So yeah, Tesla made over like 3 years. They made about 2,000 ish of Roadsters worldwide.
Yeah.
About 60 of them were sent to the UK. I didn't obviously buy one then, but and of the 2,000, only like a couple hundred of them are signature versions, which is like the first ones off, and there's like a signed plaque on them.
What's it worth?
It changes. Like there's a couple up for like 250.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And the 2010 cars were like 13 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the big problem with it is, if you know electric cars, it's like, there are maybe a handful of people that know how to work on them.
Yeah.
A couple of them do still work at Tesla in the UK. I don't know about the US. In the US, there's like this whole thing, like there's a couple of companies that are dedicated to sustaining and restoring, but there's like, the thing is, the US probably has over 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
So there is a market for maintaining them.
What's the battery life like on it?
nothing I think, to flex about.
Well, it's more than Honda E. I think you can get like 180 miles from it.
Really? Mm. Still? Yeah.
But it's very small, very light car. It's a 2-seater.
Oh, but oh my God, it drives like a 10-year-old 3-ton go-kart. Like it is, there's no power steering.
Oh, wow.
It's a wild ride. But it's still 0 to 60.
I think it's 5.5.
No, what? No, it's like 3 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fast.
That's pretty fast.
Well, I say 10-year-old car. It's not. It's a 13-year-old car.
Yeah. So basically, long story short, Tesla used that first car to really work on their base car, which I think was the Model S.
Yeah, that was the first proper car was the Model S.
Yeah, yeah.
What I've noticed is that you can really go on about your accent and he don't like it. And he really goes on about electric. He loves electric, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He loves
And nobody
electric.
Really cares about it.
He loves it.
You know, people like tend to click off. When he
loves electric. You can tell he's really...
Do you genuinely not find that interesting, though, about the Tesla Roadster?
No, that's really... No, that's really... It is interesting. I didn't know about that.
Oh, of course. You know, like, I think electric cars are the future, whether you like it or not. Is this the truth? And, you know, maybe it's because the governments are pushing it, but still, it's the future. So
is it... Listen, they're saying it's the future. Is it really helping us? Because everyone's switching from, a lot of people are coming away from electric.
Yeah.
I mean, infrastructure is not in place.
So electric, like secondhand car prices, obviously we're a bit UK centric here, but secondhand car prices like gone down the drain at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember the BMW i8? That was an incredible car.
Oh, it's ugly.
Back in the day. The doors made that car. If you didn't have those doors, it'd have been terrible. That was an incredible car. Those are cheap now.
Yeah.
Really,
but then again, you know, there's a lot of combustion engine cars that also drop in value. So I'm not sure it has to do with the fact that it's electric.
Yeah.
If you like an old Panamera,
but, I don't know,
150 grand sale price 8 years ago is now worth 15K. An old Panamera.
Yeah.
They just make too many of them. Yeah. And that's why I bought the SV Roadster. And that's why he bought his Tesla
Roadster.
Have
you still got the SV Roadster?
I sold it.
You sold it. You made money on that.
Yeah.
You should have done well on that.
I did very well.
I made 100 on mine.
Yeah, it's...
£100.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I made his boat on mine.
Yeah, I made a little bit more than the boat on mine.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. All right. We're going to be stuck on the cast forever. I really want to know, because so I came across the video about your house invasion.
Oh, can we talk about this?
Is that something you're okay talking about?
Because you made a video about the fact that you got robbed in your house. I'm not sure when this was, but...
Well, can you, for assuming that they don't really know what's going on, right? Can you give us the lowdown on...
So 7 years ago, I got robbed in my house.
Wow.
Tied up. And yeah, they wanted my Richard... So I love watches, but they wanted my Richard Mill.
And can you maybe tell them what a Richard Mill is?
So Richard Mill is like a Richard Mille, where it's about £150,000 watch. Now it's probably £300,000. It's a watch that everyone wants. It's a real
It's not this
watch.
One.
It's not that watch. No. So people know Rolexes, but Richard Mill is like the top watch. And during the robbery, the guy said to me, Yanni, I want your Richard Mill.
So he knew who you were.
He knew. It was a setup. They planned to come and get me. And I just said to him, it's not here. Because it wasn't at the time. I had a scratch on it. It was in Harrods. And he just went bash with the baseball bat to the side of my head. So that was tough, and that's probably one of the down points of social media and YouTube when you film stuff and you're wearing a watch where I think, okay, we can target that person because we know he's got cars, we know he's got watches. It was weird because it happened 7 years ago. I only put the video out probably a year ago, and the only reason I put the video out is because there were so many robberies happening in London where people don't want to wear watches or don't want to do anything, and I put it out there for a lot of my friends, a lot of my client base, and the amount of football players and celebrities that messaged me saying, Yan, I've put my watches away now. I don't wear my watch anymore. I don't do this. So they were like, thank you so much for the video. So I'm glad I put the video out. But it was, it was a tough time.
So how did these guys get into your house?
Through a window. So I got home. I was coming back from a night out. And it was about 3 a.m. Didn't put my alarm on downstairs, which is my fault. Yeah. They popped the window. And it was weird because they were already in my house when I got home.
They were waiting for you.
They were waiting for me, but they heard the car pull up at a Ferrari at the time, and they jumped out and ran away.
Yeah.
So I went in the house, went to sleep, and then got woken up being hit on the head. So they got into my house while I was asleep.
Have you ever found these guys? Do you know who they are?
No. The UK is...
Make sure the mics...
The UK is brutal for things that happen on a daily basis. So you see it happen every day in London. It's a jungle out here, it's crazy.
You got robbed because of your watch, not because of your expensive cars.
No, I had my Ferrari and my Range Rover. One was in the garage and one was them.
But is it still them. Like it's easy. Is it a bit pointless to steal nice cars?
That's what I was gonna say.
Yes and no. You say that they're stealing Range Rovers like they're anything at the moment. The Range Rover's the easiest car to steal, and they steal them because they'll be put in a container and gone abroad.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So cars are stole to order. The difference is with my cars are so out there, they're wrapped
stole
in crazy
to order.
Colors. Yes, in other words, they were like, we want a specific Range Rover, we want a specific Lamborghini.
Just go and get one. So there's like, you walk into like your black market dealer, and then he'll give you a catalogue, and he's like,
what car would you like, sir?
And I'll go steal the one for you.
Pretty much. It sounds crazy, but that's exactly what it was. But my cars are always wrapped, and they're always crazy colours. So
they can't really
drive
hide
down
them.
The road. Yeah, you're going to know my car. It was a crazy experience. I'm not saying I'm glad it happened, but sometimes things have to happen for you to change your lifestyle and how you think.
So you got robbed because of an expensive watch. Are you still wearing expensive watches?
I still wear watches. I pick and choose where I wear them to and where I'm going. Like, we're here today. It's no issue.
Right.
But I won't.
Listen, you're not sure. You haven't left the building yet.
Yeah, that's true. But my Richard Mill, I used to wear it all the time. I'd wear it to go to the gym. I'd wear it to go to the shop. Literally, I'd wear it like it was
an
Apple Watch. Like it was nothing. Honestly, and I look back and I'm like, wow, like, you idiot. Like, are you mental? What are you doing?
People in Monaco wearing it everywhere.
Monaco. That's different. You can wear it in Monaco. You go to Dubai and stuff. But the UK, I think, is finished with regards to what's going on.
It's interesting.
In London specifically or
London,
UK general?
London.
Yeah, London.
Why is
it
so bad in London?
I think because you've got so many people.
It's easy to get away?
Yeah, you've got so many people in such a small thing. And now you've got the electric bikes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's literally, you're on that and you're gone. There's no noise. You can get away. Police are never catching you.
I've seen this video of a guy driving his Bugatti.
Yeah.
And there's a little scooter. They smashed through his window, I believe. Or he had his window open and they stole the watch.
Didn't get his watch. And funny enough, he'd just gone to the bank. He'd just gone to the bank, taken some money, and usually has security with him. And he didn't have his security with him. And then he got away. But if you look, how many cars were around? Not one person did anything. I'm not saying you should do anything.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you look, I think it's Brazil, where if you see, you can just run them over. You can just drive into them. You don't get any, there's no
self-defense.
Yeah, you just defend yourself. In the UK, you can't. If someone comes on your property and you do something and they trip and they fall and they're robbing you, you're getting sued.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, give us a chance.
So do you find that it's so... Because it's tough, because the thing that you do is you basically are... You're in a flashy industry. Like, it's like, how can I take a boring car and make it as, like, not boring as possible? And I imagine that leaks into... Typically, the person that's bringing you a nice car has also got a nice watch on.
Yeah.
You know, all of this stuff.
Do you wrap watches?
You don't wrap watches, but it's just, it's the fact that you're dealing with high net worth individuals.
But that, it's funny
I
that...
I don't think it's a bad question.
It's funny, though, because, like, you've got to, like, then be careful, right? But then it's also your business to, like, be flashy.
It's,
you
know, it's a catch 22. What am I supposed to... Exactly, what am I supposed to do? So there was, you drive a Lamborghini. I'm like, but it's what I do for a living. Mm. It's like you make YouTube videos. You're not going to do YouTube videos now. It's like, well...
Yeah.
How does that work? Wow. So I've got a protection dog. So I've got
Yeah, we wanted to talk about that one.
Yeah, I've got a protection dog.
We're dog people. Even though I know protection dogs aren't necessarily pets, but you get what I mean though. They shouldn't be treated as you know, they're kind of a bit more like a guide dog, right?
Talk about your dog. Did you get this dog because you got robbed in the house?
Yeah, so I've got a dog called Uzi. It's a German Shepherd.
Uzi, love the name.
That's it. And He's incredible. And the reason I got a German Shepherd, I wanted a Rottweiler, but the reason I got a German Shepherd is because I got kids. I got young kids. So Rottweilers are not as kid-friendly as a German Shepherd. So it was trained for 2 years before it came to me. And he's incredible.
Right.
You only have to feed him once a day. Obviously, you have to still take him on walks and stuff like that. If someone threw food over or whatever, he won't take food from anyone but me. And he's incredible. Like he.
But do you have to maintain that level of...
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
So if I go on holiday, I'll send him back and he'll get more update training.
Ah, okay.
But he's...
He gets like a software update.
Okay, so yeah, not everyone...
Exactly that.
Not a software update.
That's great, that.
This is how...
That's good, though.
He likes electric cars.
Electric dogs.
So you can't give your dog to, like, your parents or just some of your friends to take care of it for an evening.
No, you can't do that.
It only listens to you.
To me, yeah. He'll only listen to me. He has certain words that will trigger him.
So can you, for example, tell us a word?
No.
Do you have a secret handshake?
Not with the dog.
Oh, so you can't say the words because they could be used against the dog.
He only listens to my voice, but I still wouldn't say the word anyway. Right. But he only listens to my voice, so I can trigger him.
So you can say sit, and if I say sit,
that's basic stuff.
He won't sit.
No, he won't listen to
you. But he might get if someone else knew some of the secret words, it might confuse him a bit, or like he'd be like double guessing.
The dogs are so incredible nowadays. Yeah. Honestly, so incredible. Right. And what's interesting, like if I pick my daughter up and I throw her up in the air, he starts going mad.
Yeah,
because he's worried about her that she's gonna fall and hurt herself.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's quite, it's quite interesting the way the dog reacts to certain things. And I remember once I was walking the dog and I saw two guys walking and they spun back round. And I was like, and where I live is gated. And I thought, that doesn't look right.
Right.
So I took the dog and I just set him to just be alert.
Yeah.
And he's now on it. And you can see he's looking. And then I triggered him to bark. And you can see the guys look. And obviously they walked away. And I don't know what they were up to. But because you can trigger. So I can make him bark. I can make him talk. I can make him pretty much do anything on commands, and that is why you have a protection dog.
But he won't kill. That's not what they're trained to do, right?
they're not trained to kill, but...
Is it a stupid question?
My manager's over there saying, don't say what you're going to say, Yanni.
So listen, right? I think some people might be saying, you know, it's not good to have a dog like that with a family. Like, I think maybe, you know...
Unless you've had a dog... I don't think you can comment about that. And I know people say, but you've seen dogs and they've bitten kids and there's stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a dog can do anything because it is a dog at the end of the day. But when you've had that much training, my dog is trained to be able to hold someone. So if I give him a signal, I can get him to pin you against the wall and not touch you. He'll just bark in front and you're just going to be standing there. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Or I can send him to bite you.
Right.
So
he won't bite unless you allow it.
Yeah, so I can make him stand you, then he won't bite you. He'll just stand in front of you barking like mad. But if I feel there's a threat, he will come for you. Or if you try to swing for me, he'll take your arm or your leg.
And I think the point is, right, is that, you know, dogs have big teeth, big mouths. They have the capacity to do damage. So, like, if you want to ask that question, it's like, well...
They can kill, but it's not. That's like, not what they're trained to do. They're
technically
trained to
a chihuahua could probably kill someone if it really went for their neck and went for it. Like,
right. If someone comes in your house and people say, yeah, but they turn up 3-4 of them, no problem. Who wants to go in first? You're saying 3-4 of them. Who's the first person that's going to be brave enough? Because once that dog gets the first person and you're on the floor, he'll leave that one and go to the next one. And he'll move. And we've done gun training, knife training. Movie. Yeah, we've done gun, knife training, attacks, multiple attacks, night attacks. They've done so many things to the house. So they'll come at different times of the day to try and attack my house and see what the dog does.
And do you feel safer now?
Yeah. I mean, having a dog is the most, it's peace of mind.
Yeah. And is it also a good family dog?
Yeah, he's great.
That's awesome.
He's great. I remember the other day, he was in the cage because they were cleaning him. My daughter went and opened the cage. My daughter's 2. And then I walked in, I was like, where's my daughter? And I saw them, they were just both sitting on the floor, just talking. Because the dog obviously knows her and he's so protective over her.
Dogs are the best.
They're good.
I don't have protective dogs. My dogs are rescue dogs. They're hunting dogs. And they've got a hunting instinct. They're called Podencos. It's a Spanish breed, and these ones specifically are from the south of Spain, so they are essentially historically trained to hunt for rabbits. Now, I've got one small one who's actually the catcher, and I've got one big one who's kind of like the loud one to kind of cheer all the dogs up. He's not very good at hunting, but I don't use him for hunting, but I can kind of see resemblance, whereas my dogs do this for hunting. All they care about is killing a rabbit. Your dog, all they care about is protecting the family. Yeah. It's amazing, right? Dogs are awesome.
Yeah.
And your dogs are a little bit in between that, I guess.
Yeah, I've got I've got two sort of labs, but one of them's a golden mixed lab who's like a hunting dog stock. Okay. So she's like a little princess, but she also she took a deer down. I'm talking like a lab golden, whereas the other one, he's like a chunkier lab, like pure lab, and he's got maybe like 2 brain cells. So, but the thing is like he's the one that looks terrifying, really muscular, bulky black lab.
Yeah.
So it's kind of they are like the bark and the bite, or like together. And
the yin and yang.
She's really protective. So it's like not from a doing damage perspective, I think, realistically.
Yeah.
But she's good at, they're both good at like being defensive.
House. I think any dog has natural instinct to protect their home base, right?
Yeah.
Even my hunting dogs, they'll bark at people who get too close to the house.
Yeah.
And they pick up
I'll
energy.
Tell them off.
Picks up energy. If someone comes and their energy's off, dog, you'll see his ears go up and he's on alert. Even though I haven't given him any signal, he just knows something's not right.
Yeah.
He's reading your body language, person's body language, with his ears and eyes and senses. It's incredible.
Well, they say that you always trust the dog's instinct. Like it's interesting. I mean, I remember one of the first house I moved into, my dog was like, decided that she just didn't like my neighbor. So like whenever she would see him, went furious.
Really?
And I was, so it's just like, she will sometimes choose to just not like random people. I'm like, well, you never know. Like, you never know what's going on there. You don't even know what she's seen, like what she thinks.
Yeah. She's been staring out the window, stalking her neighbor, and she's seen some
stuff. Yeah, she has. She didn't tell me, but.
Well, she can't talk.
It's all right. Jelly, stop walking past his house. Took him a while.
He's got binoculars.
I actually haven't visited the house yet, so no. Well, that previous house.
It would be weird because someone else lives there now.
So yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't go there now. I thought he says yet.
Hi.
Who are you? Someone I knew used to live here.
I could probably find it. I could probably find out where it is. Knock on the
That's
door.
Not a flex.
Is it not?
I could probably find it. I'm like, okay.
Have you never done that? Gone to the home where you grew up?
Where
people, I don't ring on their door.
You know what I haven't done though? I haven't gone to someone else's house where they grew up.
My friend grew up here, but I thought, let me just come past.
And I've never actually been in. Can you give me a tour?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. So one of the things I wanted to learn a bit more about is like, you've got this competitions business. Mm. And I was just curious about it on like how it works. So can you explain a little bit more about what it is?
So a competition business is something that you can play online.
Okay? Yeah.
It's anonymized competitions where you can play for cash prizes, cars, PS5s or whatever it may be.
So you say play for, did you say?
You play for. So right. So there's the way you do it is you go online, okay, and you choose the prize you want, and you have to answer a question. Because it's not theoretically gambling in the UK. You just have to answer a question. And once you answer that question, then you're allowed to play. Okay, so 17 years of age or older. So for example, my Aventador SV, I gave that away on the Animus competitions.
What?
That's what I gave away. And a guy called Ryan won it, who was about 20 years old. He bought himself a place and paid off his mum's mortgage.
That's
so he
incredible.
Bought the car. He won the car, drove it for a month. Yeah, so literally it was $7,000 for him to drive it for a month.
Yeah.
And only do 500 miles. $7,000 for 500 miles, yeah? He drove it for the month and then sold it and paid off his mum's mortgage and bought himself a place.
So he bought a ticket? Is that...
He actually got a free ticket. Can you imagine? He didn't even buy it. And it was one ticket and he got it for free. And he won the Aventador SV Roadster.
So you made a video on that, right?
Yeah.
Giving him the car. Videos.
Yeah, giving him the car. Yeah, it's incredible. And his mum, so when I FaceTimed him at the time when he'd won, his mum was then, she's like, it's all lies, it's all rubbish. I'll only believe it when it's on my driveway. She was proper light about it.
She heard it coming.
And then when I put it on the driveway, I was like, now she's like, yeah, I believe it now.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm sure of course you do.
It's a scary car to have in your driveway. Like, yeah.
Especially when
there's flames coming out of the exhaust.
And the car's worth more than the house. Because also they lived in Rugby. So it's like out of miles away. It was insane.
So obviously, like, how the hell does that make any financial sense for you to be, if someone's getting a free ticket, how the hell are you giving them a car?
Obviously you've got people that are paying as well. Right. So that was, we do promos. So for example, the last car we gave away was a Fiat Trofeo. So
not
Fiat
the Trofeo, Honda.
Not the Honda. I could give that away. So we had a Fiat Trofeo T-Jet. There was 15,000 tickets. The car's probably worth $12,000 and we charged 99p a ticket. So you sell all 15,000 tickets, you get 15,000 in, the car's $12,000, you make $3,000.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? And then I shoot the content of giving it away.
Yeah.
And when you show the content, that is why people come back.
Right. It's almost like Mr. Beast type of content, you know, but giving people cars.
But do you limit the amount of tickets that you sell?
Yeah, so that had 15,000 tickets.
So you tell people how many tickets there
are? Yeah, so you'll see how many tickets there are, how many tickets are sold, and what it's going to cost.
They can
you.
Decide, I'll buy 50 tickets, I'll buy 100 tickets. Are there limits?
You limit them, yeah. So some tickets you're only allowed 250, some you're allowed 50, some you're allowed 100. So if we do a watch on there, we'll limit them down because a lot of people just buy loads and loads of tickets.
Right.
But we do this every day, and that's a great business. That's a really, really good business. I do this.
Is there
all
like
day.
Restrictions on how, like, because you know you sell tickets, is there restrictions on how much? I guess, I mean, because it's pretty clear that you're making money to be able to do these
it's a business.
Things. You said specifically it's not gambling, so I'm guessing that means there's no restrictions from the gambling.
The gambling restrictions.
Yeah, there's no restrictions, but you can't take
So do they stop you from selling... Right. There's nothing stopping you from hypothetically selling, I don't know, 20,000 tickets for a quid.
No, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. But you got to remember, you've got to sell it out as well. And if you're putting a stupid amount and someone's... They're going to look and be like, oh, a minute, that costs $10,000 and they've got 30,000 tickets. I'm not playing for that.
Right, right.
You understand?
It needs to feel realistic as well.
Exactly. People know that you're going to make money. It's a business. Listen, I'm not here to say I'm not making... Of course I'm making money, but you've got to be fair.
But you're not allowed to call it like a lottery.
No, because it's not gambling. It's a competitions business. It's a skill-based business.
Right.
So you answer a question. But the problem is the question, honestly, is silly. So
can you give an example for a question?
Okay, so...
Jelly wants to know if you'd be able to do it.
So, I don't know if you
might just buy 100 tickets.
Okay, so they'll be like, there's four cars here. So these guys, you've got a Lamborghini, a Porsche, a Ferrari, and a Range Rover.
Which one's the Bugatti?
Which one's electric? As an example, or which one could be electric, or which one's German? So we got a Ferrari,
I'd be pretty good at
Audi, and whatever. Which one's German? So this question is very
easy. He
picked
an easy one for you, Jelly. Yeah.
I think all of them are German.
Ferrari's German.
Oh, you said Ferrari. Yeah.
He lost. No ticket for you.
I should have gone croissant.
What is the correct pronunciation of these words?
That'd be funny.
So because I've heard some stuff about this before, like because the way you explain it sounds fine, but are there people doing it not so good, do you think?
Listen, I don't know what other people do.
I see stuff on like Instagram with that ticket stuff.
I film everything. So I cover myself because I film everything. I show all the winners.
Yeah.
It's when you're giving away stuff and you never see a winner.
Yeah. Right.
So I could fix it. I can't fix it, but you could fix it to give it to someone that you know. But
again,
it's a bit like, I've been around too long.
You have to play fair because you're adding your face, your name,
my brand. Listen, for $20,000 or $50,000, I'm not doing it. I ain't gonna lie, for a couple hundred million, I might do that, you know what I mean? But not for something like that. And I'd say, because we film everything and it's always, so I'll go live and I'll film it for YouTube and you see the real people and I phone them surprise phone numbers. It's so much to it. You can't. Like we had one guy, he won 3 times. You're fixing it for the same person to win. I'm like, if I was going to fix it, I'm not going to fix it for the same person to win 3 times, am I?
Yeah.
You understand? People don't think.
Yeah.
But we film everything.
Was a lucky winner.
So. Yeah. Yeah, he won 3 times.
Wow.
He knows his electric cars. Or his German cars, at least.
Or his German cars.
Yeah.
That's great. So the thing is with it, though, is do you, like that first one that you did, do you always sell out? What happens if you don't sell out?
I'll take a loss.
Really? Okay.
So this is what I'm trying to say. So as much as people think you're making money, if we don't sell out, so...
Then the game doesn't play.
I've got to do it. I can't. Yeah, I can't be like, I've put 10,000 tickets, we only sell 7,000. I'm not doing it now.
Okay, so then you sold 7,000, then you're playing, but car might be worth 10 grand.
Yeah,
so.
I make a loss. I've done it a few times, I've made losses.
Really?
Yeah, it happens. I remember we didn't sell out on a watch. I didn't sell out on a Golf. I didn't sell out on an M2.
Happens. So you need to make sure you pick things that people want.
Yeah, you try and put things that people really, really want. So usually the watches sell out. I think when we put the watch out, it's the wrong time of the month. So if I usually try and put the big prizes up right at the end of the month, rolling into the beginning of a new month, so everyone's just got paid. Mm. You understand? Oh. If you put a big prize up,
you're
having
to think about all those things. Yeah, that surprises me.
I put an Urus on there. We put an Urus on there. We didn't sell out.
Oh.
We didn't sell out. We've done 40,000 tickets. We sold 22,000. And you had the opportunity to take
the car. Right, and you changed the price of the tickets.
Yeah, they were $9.99. Or if you're a Y Club member, $4.99. You pay 50%. Mm. Yeah, and we sold 22,000 odd tickets. And you could either win the car, or if you didn't want the car, you can take £150,000 tax-free cash.
Right.
The guy took £150,000 tax-free cash because he lived in France.
And that helps you because
it worked in my
the
favor.
Urus is much more expensive.
I was
than
well
that.
Happy with that, but I can't decide what he does.
Right,
you understand? But that worked in my favor. So if you taken the car, I'd have probably taken a 20 grand loss on.
So it's not UK only.
No, it's worldwide.
Oh, right.
Well, we have people. A lot of people play.
This might be
France,
good prop.
South Africa. Yeah, we play it from everywhere. Just North America and South America is for some reason we can't get it.
Oh, so it's mostly Europe, I guess.
Yeah, just North America and South America, but yeah. Like South Africa, Brazil, everywhere else,
right.
People playing. We have a lot of people that play from abroad. It's crazy.
Wow, cool, interesting.
Yeah, and if someone wins a car and you're abroad, you can take the cash alternative.
Right.
So that way then we're not having to send them.
Have you ever given away any personal things?
Yeah, my watch. I gave away
Richard
one of my
Mill.
Watches. No. I gave my
the
Batman.
Guys wanted to rob it. Immediately, he just gave it away.
Just gave it away. Yeah. No, my Batman Rolex, and that sold out because they knew it was mine. So that sold out.
Did you sign it?
No, should I make you laugh? So the guy turned up with his missus, and you could tell they didn't have a lot of money. And he turned up, picked up the watch. I said, "What are you going to do?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep it, this, that, and the other." 2 days later, he'd sold it. But listen, you once, it doesn't matter. But I have people that will pick up a car from me. Have you heard of We Buy Any Car?
Mm?
You know, yeah. We Buy Any Car, yeah?
A what?
We Buy Any Car. We Buy Any Car is like a site where...
Is it only in the UK?
We Buy Any Car.
Yeah.
You almost said it as if it's one word, We Buy Any Car.
We Buy Any Car.
Which is, if you slow down, We Buy Any Car.
Sorry, Jay, this is our accent.
Sorry, it was just confusing. I was like, what are they saying? Anyway, keep going.
You just take your car, then they'll just buy your car for you for whatever amount. Right. Yeah. So I remember we gave away 3 cars, and 2 of them literally drove it from me round the corner to We Buy Any Car and got rid of the cars. And they called us saying, "We've seen you've just registered a car in this person. Can you confirm this is the new?" And I'm like, "Yeah, they've just won it." And they're like, "Okay, then."
So why don't they opt out for the cash prize? Is that less?
If you have a lower end car, if you have like a 10 grand car, you don't usually have a cash alternative. Okay. It's only on the bigger prizes. But yeah, people—they can do whatever they want. If they win, I don't care what you do.
Right,
it's yours. You. Yeah, it's yours. You can
it's
do
not your
you
property
want.
Anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's yours. Do whatever you want.
Interesting. Right. So moving on. So Ben actually, who's clicks the buttons behind the scenes.
Like the wave, by the way. Ben gave us like
a—he's
a
fancy
a queen
guy.
Wave.
I'm classy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is. He's half decent at his job.
Is it?
And
thanks.
Anyway, so he watches some of your videos, and he said that recently you've kind of moved operation.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you're to Urban, who are like a custom car company.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that?
Right, so Jan and Myers has always been in Enfield in North London.
Yeah.
So I've turned Enfield into a media setup. So I've got infinity walls, green screens, podcast studio.
Wow.
So it's really, really cool there. And I've moved my business to Milton Keynes to Urban. So I own a business a long time with my partner Simon called Urban Automotive. So we put Urban Automotive and Yanomize together. So Urban Automotive is like a car tuner. So we do body kits for G-Wagons, Range Rovers.
We've just done one. They're beautiful.
We've just done one for Scott Disick.
Do you own Urban?
Yes, with Simon and Bick. So three of us.
What? So, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So, and we, as I said, we just done a car for Scott Disick in America.
Oh. Have you always owned it?
No.
So that's like a newer...
Newish. Right. I have always had shares in it. Simon's godfather to my daughter as well.
Right.
But that...
Is it sort of like you've moved it over there, but it's been a bit of a merge?
It's merged.
Correct. Okay.
Correct. And you've got Yanomize Customs, Urban Automotive. So Yanomize does all the wraps and stuff. Yanomize is the fame business.
Right.
And Urban is wasn't. So we're just trying to give the fame to Urban now as well.
Right.
Like, it's insane. They don't have a blue tick. I can't... It's unbelievable how that business, when all the other car modifiers...
You can just pay for it, though.
Can you play for it?
Well, now you can, I think.
You can just pay for a blue tick, man.
On Twitter, but not on Instagram.
But who cares about Instagram?
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, Instagram is probably more important for cars.
It's cars. Oh, it's visual, isn't it?
Sorry, I'll take that back.
Yeah, so it's... So it's just weird that it just doesn't have it. So me being there now will get it because it brings the fame to it.
You might be able to pay for it soon. I think Mark Zuckerberg has said they're probably going to opt for that soon. So
I think that's my stupidest thing they've done that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just think
I think that's interesting. It's interesting to get your perspective on that, actually. Yeah. I know we're changing subject, but... Because your whole business is celebritism, right?
Right.
So
that tick is worth a lot.
The tick is worth
a lot. It validates you as a person to be credible, big, famous, trustworthy potentially. Not a fake.
So what's the problem with other people getting access to it?
Exactly what he just said. Like, you got people with, and I'm not saying it should be based on your followers, but you got people that have got 100 followers and they've got a blue tick.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you know who's genuinely got a blue tick for being famous or being something specifically for having that. But now you don't know why someone's got a blue tick. And someone could generally have a low amount of followers and generally deserve that blue tick. And then you've got someone that's got the low amount of followers and you're just like, yeah, you just bought that.
So who do you think deserves a blue tick then?
People in the public eye, people that can be copied, people that people can pretend to be them.
Right.
I think
because that's what the tick meant for a long time.
Yeah. So you know that if that person with a blue tick has said it, you know it's come from them.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to work out either, this new strategy of them just allowing people to pay for it. But at the same time, I also get it.
So
I don't get it.
I think, why?
Well, they're trying to make it not a status symbol, right? That's the whole thing.
Right. But at the same time, you know... Even though you have the tick, it doesn't mean you are credible, and it doesn't mean you are trustworthy, and it doesn't actually also mean that you are that person.
By the way, we're definitely playing devil's advocate here because it's just interesting to get someone your perspective on it. Because,
we have ticks.
Yeah.
But what's the point of having a tick then? So if everyone has the tick, you might just get rid of the tick for you.
Yeah, there's no point.
I think you shouldn't have it.
I think that's valid. I think. Yeah.
But nowadays, you know, you below your profile, it'll say what you do. So, for example, I think for me, it's this content creator or influencer or something like
that.
Anyone can do that, though. Anyone can put that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, anyone can do that.
This is my point. So anyone can be a YouTuber. Anyone can be a business owner. Anyone can say they're famous or they're a celebrity. But are they? And
so.
But even with a tick, are they, is the question.
I guess, is part of the issue that there is actually no standard regulation for who got the ticket, who didn't. So it's like you just said the point, right? Why forget that they you can buy it now, but why hasn't Urban got a tick? Well, yeah, you kind of have to like get someone to like decide someone. You got to change someone at Twitter's opinion.
Bot. Yeah,
there's no like.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. So I've got two Instagrams. I've got Yanomize and I've got Yanny. So Yanny's my personal one. Yanomize had a blue tick from early, and the reason it did is because my client base was all celebrities. Yeah. They were like, he does celebrities. That business is renowned around celebrities. He's famous. His brand's famous. Me, Yanny, I couldn't get a blue tick. And the only way I got my blue tick was when I got my TV show. And then instantly, my blue tick arrived.
Then you're
so mainstream. I earned it.
But how did it arrived? Like, as in someone
reached
out?
You didn't ask someone?
No, I don't know. Did Neil, did you speak to him and say he's got a TV show now? So I think my management might have contacted them.
But that's the argument. Right. That's the argument, right? Like, only people in the circle... Right, can get the tick.
I think that's what Elon was saying, right? Yeah. He was like, it was too much of a
There were some people who just weren't in the circle, and then they, even though they were credible, even though they were trustworthy, even though they were famous, even though they had all these things that essentially checked the box, they didn't have the tick.
It definitely seemed like there would have been a middle option, which was like,
maybe the criticism that, I mean, a green tick.
Well, the thing is, the criticism is interesting on like who should and shouldn't have one, right? I don't think it should never be a metric that you reach to get one, right? Because that doesn't make any sense. Someone who's big in one category, that number is relative to a different category.
So let me ask you this question. So we've got Cristiano Ronaldo. Of course he should have a blue tick because he's famous worldwide. But KSI is a YouTuber. Is YouTube as powerful as...
Well, that's exactly the point.
That's what I'm asking. So I'm saying,
I think that they should have really probably found a middle ground where there's just, they set out some like basic requirements. Like YouTube has it very clear on what you need to...
Well, not for the tick.
Well, not so much for the tick. Well, they do and don't. I think more so, like, let's use the monetization stuff, right? For example, on YouTube. YouTube sets out very clearly what you need to do to monetize. And they change it to update it. So shorts come out and now they've adjusted the bracket to allow shorts creators to get monetized.
What did they say? You need 1,000 followers and X amount of hours viewing before you can get 10,000 URL.
I'm not drawing a one-to-one, but it's more so
just trying to get an example.
Exactly. So
it's a minimum requirement that's set in stone is what Josh is trying to say.
And then, so I guess the evolution of that would be if Twitter had some level of some base metric stuff that might be very minimal, but some base metric, and then it's like, and then you're in these categories because they require you to be verified, right? Because to be honest, who cares if you're in, you know, you're in some X category but it doesn't matter if you're verified or not, right? If you're in X categories, then you can then apply, and then it will say on there you've applied pending, and then someone looks at it and then they go nah because or yes.
Yeah, well,
that would have been a much better solution.
Yeah, I agree. Instagram, I think they
Elon, you had listen.
To have, yeah, you had to have three with Instagram. Didn't you have to have three bits of press online?
Yeah, but that was all but then so
people,
vague.
And then
though.
People were buying it in different countries.
Yeah, you can buy it.
We got Instagram the verification before, like just from someone asking for us.
Yeah, I don't think we asked this one guy who knew someone on Instagram. Boom, had the tick.
But that was the early days of YouTube when YouTube was up and coming. It was like YouTube. Yeah. Now, if you're a YouTuber, you can't just get an Instagram tick.
No.
You can't just get a blue tick.
I want to ask you something, and this has nothing to do with ticks, but you know, before you got here, we had already met before. We met 5 years ago. When we met, did you know me already? Because we met in Monaco at an event. When did you first hear about us, you know, as gamers? We could be potential clients of yours. We haven't been, but we're in that bracket. Tell us a little bit, like, when did you find out about us?
My kids.
Your kids.
My kids always, I want to say tell me who's relevant, but they're always on top of it. So they'll always say, oh, this person, that person.
Right.
They'll mention. I'll be like, oh, okay, I didn't know who that was.
Well, shout out to
them. I'll just look into whoever the YouTubers are or whatever they say, whether it be a gamer playing Minecraft or you know what I mean, or Fortnite or whatever it is. So it's my kids. My kids are so up to date on YouTube, so they always keep me updated.
You're like your little consultants.
But as quick as they tell me though, they'll tell me, oh, that person's dropped off now. Yeah, don't worry about
so
that.
So do they tell you should wrap this guy's car? He just bought a new car.
They say to me, oh, you need to get that person or you need to get this person. Yeah. And there's loads of times where I've been in a Sideman video where I haven't been in it, but they've spoke about me and my kids will send me the clips. Oh, they spoke about you here. And they said that this, and I was like, oh, wow, okay then. And I never see it, but they, because they seem to watch everything.
Yeah.
And they seem to tell me all the time I'm mentioned. Yeah. In every other week, they'll be like, you're mentioned here. You were spoke about here. They mentioned your name here. They said something here. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah. But so you've kind of known of us for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the reason we started this podcast?
Do you know what?
I've done enough research.
Do you know what? I do, but I actually can't think of it now.
Maybe your kids have told you.
No, my kids didn't tell me this. Was I talking to you? Who was I talking to? Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone about this. I think it might be one of my team. I can't remember what it was said, but they did say it to me.
Yeah.
They did say it to me.
So yeah, well, long story short, we used to be with three.
Yeah.
Right? And then the third person left. Then we got a new third person and they also left. And then we started the podcast to find another third person.
Right.
So do you? Would you like to play some video games with us?
Is this
this has actually been an interview. And well,
I love a serious actually, face as well.
I see. The thing is, it's wrong because I just asked if he wants to, but by coming on the podcast, he's saying he wants to join the group, right?
Yeah, you're in.
So have to decide if we want Yanni to join the group.
What's the new name though? Because at the moment it's the two thirds.
You'll be the one third.
We haven't really, we haven't thought that far ahead. But Jelly, how are we feeling?
I like Yanni. I'm not sure about his gaming skills though.
That's true.
Yeah. How are you with Minecraft?
Are you actually good at playing video games?
I'm sure you could race a car too.
I can practice.
It was on the job requirements.
I didn't see it. I didn't get the memo.
And that's, look, we've got enough disorganization in the group already. We don't need another person that can't
look, we got the memo wearing black tops and you didn't get the memo. He wants to stand out.
Look, being honest, Yanni, I think it's going to be a pass from us. But
I hope you don't mind.
We want to thank you very much for coming on. Yeah. And I don't want this to kind of knock your confidence moving forwards when you apply for other roles.
I think I'll be okay. I'm going to try and be a bit more confident in my videos.
Excellent.
And hopefully I can.
Maybe practice the gaming thing a little bit.
That's it. Do you know what? As you've knocked me back, you might as well
stop rapping.
Start rapping.
Stop rapping.
Stop rapping.
Start spitting bars.
I can do that. Do you know what? You can actually help me then. You know, as I've failed on this job interview, can you help me? I'm about 30,000 away from hitting 2 million. I can't get there.
On where?
On YouTube. Can you believe it?
This will help. Check this guy out.
To be fair, we haven't got that. We've only just started the podcast.
But you've got about.
Also, we're denying your application. Why am I giving you a shout out?
And you got about 20 million between you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys. If you feel like Yanni. Wait, what did you say here?
I said, what have you got? About 20 million. He goes, more than that.
Wait, how many have you got now?
I don't know.
See, I've got.
Am I above 20? I'm at 23, I think.
Are you
I've got
really?
11 million.
Yeah, I think so. 23 million. Yeah.
I am just a nobody here.
Yeah. Together, we've got like 33 million.
That's really another reason why we actually don't really think you kind of fit in.
Yeah. I mean, guys, you know, you help him out. He's just a small YouTuber. Maybe when he gets a few more subs, we'll consider him and a bit more gaming skills. But regardless, thank you for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Greg.
Yeah,
my pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
I'll see you in another 5 years.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Every 5 years.